Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Life is a workout. And Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Philly Pod. I'm your host today, Victor Williams from Eagles Wire of USA Today. Be sure to follow me on all social media platforms over at the Philly Pod. On today's episode, we will be breaking down another position as the Eagles prepare for their first training camp practice tomorrow. Eagles reported to the NovaCare Complex today for the first day of training camp, and they will take the field for the first practice tomorrow. So we will be breaking down one more position today, as well as getting into some other kind of housekeeping notes and some other things that the Eagles took care of this week. If you're new to the show, thank you guys for checking it out. Be sure to subscribe on Apple iTunes, Spotify. I always catch myself saying iTunes, being stuck in like the millennial side of things. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Be sure to leave those reviews and rate 5 stars. They all do help with the exposure of the Philly Pod, bring the show to new eyes and ears of Eagles fans, which is important as we prepare for the season here and get ready for training camp. We are going to be breaking down the running back position today, as well as talking about a couple of roster moves. So first things first, first business to take care of, the Eagles at long last signed their entire 2025 draft class by signing second-round pick Drew Mukuba to his 4-year rookie contract. Now, Mukuba, the last of the Eagles draft class to sign his contract, it was a big holdup league-wide with the second-round picks. There was a holdup with guaranteed money within the deals. The Texans signed their second-round pick, Jaden Higgins, to a fully guaranteed rookie contract worth about $12 million, 11.7, I think is the figure, after the NFL draft. So that triggered the league-wide standoff, and then all the second-round picks went in guaranteed money. I don't know the exact figures yet of the deal, but the important thing is that Mukuba is signed and ready to go for a camp, which is important for the Eagles as they now have a void alongside Reed Blankenship at safety because they traded C.J. Gardner-Johnson to the Texans back in March. So now they have an open competition for that job alongside Blankenship. You figure Sidney Brown is going to compete for snaps there. Vic Fangio has gone out of his way to mention Tristan McCollum as another candidate for that job. But we all would like to believe that Mukuba is the lead man to play alongside Reed Blankenship on the back end of the secondary. So you don't want any distractions in camp. The Eagles are very good about managing, making sure there's nobody holding out in contracts. The Eagles don't really deal with that stuff. That's like the Bengals problem. Everybody holds out over there. And Dallas and all that stuff. So the Eagles made sure that Mukuba situation was figured out ahead of camp, and now that is all wrapped up. At one point, Mukuba was like one of 30 unsigned picks heading into this week. 30 of the 32 picks were unsigned. So it wasn't like an Eagles thing. It was a league-wide situation with guaranteed money, and the Eagles got that taken care of. So good on them. Drew Mukuba, excited to see what he has coming in to camp as the Eagles try and figure out that safety position. Some other moves today, the Eagles brought in another edge rusher, veteran Ogbo Okorakwo, who played the last 2 years with the Cleveland Browns. He played a few seasons with the Texans as well. Really good production from him throughout his career, 17 sacks in 6 seasons, 7.5 sacks in the last 2 years with Cleveland. Really had some good years, and Texans cooled off a little bit with Cleveland. But 30 years old, Has a nice spin move in his arsenal from what I've seen so far from him. So you wanted some more depth to come in here. You have Nolan Smith. You have Jalex Hunt. You have Azeez Ojulari, who I feel really good about. You also have Josh Uche. And you have some other rookies coming in here. And now you get another veteran because obviously Brandon Graham isn't here. Josh Sweat went and signed with the Cardinals. Bryce Huff is also no longer here. So you have some snaps opened up. Not that Bryce Huff contributed anything in the first place, but you have some snaps opened up now. And you want to make sure you have enough bodies. Now, will Akarakwo make the roster? Who knows? But it's a good veteran presence, a guy who has a good proven track record in the league. And the Eagles had interest in him for a while. They actually scouted him 7 years ago in the draft when he first came into the league. So the Eagles always knew about him, and they took a chance on him now. So we'll see what kind of juice he brings in training camp as well. There are some other roster moves that the Eagles took care of. They signed defensive tackle Jacob Sykes, who they held for a workout yesterday. He has spent the last 2 years in the UFL, so they're going to see what he has. He was among like three other defensive linemen that the Eagles worked out yesterday. And corresponding moves to bring those two guys in, they released KJ Henry and running back Lou Nichols. This time of year, there's a lot of roster movement and things like that, so you don't want to get caught up in names that are coming and going and this and that. You're going to see a lot of those transactions going on in the end of July and August. So don't want to get too caught up in the names that you see here today. As you know, they have 90 guys that are going to be practicing with the team over the next few weeks into the preseason. But Akarakwo, very excited to see what he has. The edge rusher unit is pretty nice. I've talked back in the spring about how excited I am for this unit. If Nolan Smith can carry his momentum from the end of last year into this season, he now leads that room. Jalex Hunt, who has been very adamant about making sure that last year's success doesn't carry over, or that last year's success doesn't affect his approach in year two, rather. He posted, I wrote about this for USA Today earlier this morning, so if you read that, this is a little redundant. But Jalex Hunt posted a story with the Super Bowl ring on the night that the Eagles received their rings. And it was captioned, this doesn't matter in 4 days. And 4 days from that date was today, you know, when the Eagles report from training camp. So Jalex Hunt knows that last year's success doesn't mean anything heading into the new season. Nick Sirianni has preached all spring long and now all summer long that they don't want the word repeat. They don't want to talk about championships. They just want sustained success. They don't want players getting caught up in the Super Bowl high. And it looks like the players are really taking that in stride. So that is good to see as well. So that is all the stuff the Eagles took care of on like on a housekeeping front. So now let's break down the running back position heading in to training camp. Because as we all know, the one man that leads it coming off the historic season and everything he has going for himself. But behind him, I think it can get really interesting, especially now that Kenneth Gainwell is no longer here. But quickly, talking about Saquon Barkley first, obviously coming off probably the best season that any player could imagine with a team. Over 2,000 yards in his first season, career highs, 13 touchdowns, 5.8 yards per carry last year, Saquon Barkley. Now, the kicker here is he logged 482 touches between the regular season and the playoffs. And, you know, history shows that you're going to suffer some kind of decline, some kind of regression coming off that kind of workload. Now, the Eagles were mindful last year of resting Barkley on certain days throughout the week, and it obviously paid off on Sundays. It paid off in the postseason. We know they sat him the last week as others wanted him to go after that record. So the Eagles have been really good about load management. I know that load management raises flags for us here in Philadelphia with Embiid and all that, but load management has really worked out for Saquon Barkley, and it sounds like the Eagles will be taking a similar approach in the training camp, making sure he doesn't wear himself out and it gets dinged up or what have you heading into the season. But Saquon had a quote in the spring. He said, "I don't know how many touches I had, nor how many yards, but it doesn't feel like it. I feel really good. I feel like I'm entering my prime. I just got to continue to have the mindset of listening to everyone, buying into whatever they want me to do. Whatever they want me to do, try to do it at the best of my ability." So it sounds like to Barkley, regardless of the mileage that he had last year, he doesn't feel like he had that kind of workload because of how well the Eagles managed him. So let's hope that that is a trend that continues here in 2025. He had 7 plays of 40-plus yards last season. He went over 100 yards in 12 of the last 15 games last season. So Saquon Barkley speaks for itself. The Eagles rewarded him with a 2-year, $41.2 million extension. So they're obviously confident that he can continue on this path of being as successful as he is for the Philadelphia Eagles. And no player in history, obviously, has rushed for 2,000 yards in back-to-back seasons. Will Saquon be the first? I mean, chances are probably not, but I think he can certainly rush for 1,600 yards because I do, like I said on podcast prior, I do think the Eagles are going to be throwing the ball a little bit more this year. But Saquon should be the same player that we saw last year for the most part. So all things look good there. Now behind him, you have Kenneth Gainwell, who went to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So now it is pretty much a logjam, not a logjam, but it's an open season for a running back two snaps because that's about 100 touches Gainwell had last year that is now up for grabs. Now Will Shipley will probably get first crack. He is, I think he would be the primary pass catching back in this offense. He's the best pass catcher between all the guys currently on that roster. He didn't get to show it a whole lot last season other than like a week 18 game. I believe he had 4 catches and 35 yards in that game. But before that, it didn't really use him a whole lot in the passing game because they didn't need to. He got relief duty when games were out of reach and so on and so forth. People are quick to look at his 2.7 yards per carry last year, but that was, again, when games were over and he was running into loaded boxes and, you know, everyone knew they were running the ball to run off the clock. So that's not really indicative of the kind of player that Will Shipley is. He was dynamic at Clemson, had 85 catches across his entire collegiate career. So we know what he could do as a pass catcher. We saw glimpses of it during the preseason, and we also saw some of that in that preseason finale. And he has a little bit more agility. I think he does offer more of a like a home run threat than Kenneth Gainwell. Kenneth Gainwell really wasn't known as an explosive player. Not too many explosive plays you remember from him, but he was reliable and he got tough yards when needed. And I think Shipley is able to make some things happen in the open field. So I think that whether it be in the screen game or what have you, I think Shipley can be utilized in that facet. But I do expect at least at minimum for him to be used on third and longs and things of that nature when you're not going to be running the ball with Saquon Barkley for the most part on third and long. They did it pretty often last year, but I think Shipley will be the guy. We'll have to see how good he is at picking up blitzes because Gainwell was pretty good in that department as well. So if Shipley can pick up that's how you get on the field. If you help keep your quarterback upright, that is how you see snaps on the field. So we'll see how Shipley does in that department throughout training camp. The question mark now for behind Shipley is AJ Dillon and his health and how he's feeling coming off the neck injury. He says he's good to go, but neck injuries are scary in the NFL, in real life, in general. All it takes is one stinger and you're on the shelf again for multiple weeks at a time. So AJ Dillon, we don't know what he has left. We know that he was very effective in Green Bay. He rushed for over 2,400 yards across his 4 seasons in Green Bay. He had 16 touchdowns, 4.1 yards per carry, and he was the running back too for the most part, you know, running behind Aaron Jones, and he was able to log 1,600 rushing yards in 3 straight seasons. So the ability is there, the hard running is there. He is going to be used to kind of run out of games when you don't want to keep Saquon in the game late, especially if it's a multiple score game and you don't need to risk injury to Saquon Barkley. You could put AJ Dillon in there to keep the tough yardage, to keep wearing down the defense. And I think that he can kind of be your closer if things go as planned and if AJ's health checks out. So we will see what he looks like in camp. We will see. I've already seen the quads. I mean, all the memes going around between Quadzilla and Saquon and all that stuff. So he has the size. It's the health that is kind of the big thing right now. But if he's healthy and he runs as hard as he did in Green Bay, I think he will be a good addition to the backfield.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here. But don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right, so beyond the guys that we know about, Shipley, A.J. Dillon, my sleeper candidate, I also wrote this article for USA Today a few days ago about my three candidates for the Paul Turner Award. We all remember Paul Turner and everything he did in 2016 when we really needed receiver help, and Paul Turner really turned heads. Didn't make the team, but he did get on the practice squad and was called up later in the season, so a good success story there. So I wrote an article on three candidates for this year's Paul Turner Award, and one of the guys I had listed was running back Montrell Johnson Jr. out of Florida, who I'm still kind of shocked went undrafted. Now, I understand why. He was dealing with injuries, and he kind of fell off people's draft boards, kind of seeing he wasn't worth the risk. But, man, when you look at the college production, it's kind of shocked. It's kind of hard to believe that teams didn't even want to take a chance on this guy. 5'11", 216 pounds. He rushed for over 3,000 yards and 33 touchdowns during his college career, and that includes over 2,200 yards and 21 touchdowns at Florida. Averaged 5.5 yards per carry. He has 4.4 40 time. So, like, all the tools are there, and the injury wasn't that scary. That team should be like, oh my God, he's not going to make it in the NFL. He has all the traits that you really want in an NFL back. He has a physical run style. He can make guys miss. He has the speed. He had like an 80-yard touchdown at Florida. So all the pieces are there. Now, he's not the quickest guy in the world, so maybe some people look at that. But 4.4 is 4.4. And I think that the pedigree and the skill set alone, and I think that with his track record from college, you know, you don't rush for over 3,000 yards in that kind of conference by accident. So I think that Montrell Johnson really has a chance to make some noise, especially if A.J. Dillon is a shell of himself, if he doesn't look all the way healthy, if he's taking a while to get acclimated. I think that Montrell Johnson certainly has a chance to make this roster, and if not, he'll certainly stick around on the practice squad. We know the Eagles like to keep a number of backs on the practice squad, but I think Montrell Johnson is a sleeper candidate to make some noise this year on this team, especially if Dillon is showing signs of wear and tear. Now, the lottery ticket in this room is Sean Derek Powell, the undrafted guy that the Eagles also brought in. Now, he's pretty much the opposite of Montrell Johnson, 5'7". 183 pounds coming out of Central Arkansas. He averaged 8.2 video game numbers, 8.2 yards per carry in 2024, had 1,334 yards and 14 touchdowns, and also had 36 catches for 318 yards. And he's a guy, you want to talk about making plays in the open field, he's a guy, once you get the ball, good luck bringing him down. Now, FCS opponents weren't great. We all know that competition isn't anything close to what the NFL level will look like. But he could be a screen threat. He could be a guy that would be change of pace to what Saquon Barkley brings. One of my friends, Anthony DeBona, who writes for the Philly Special Show, he wrote a really good detailed piece on Sean Derek Powell about his journey to football and to the NFL and all of those things. Really good piece that he wrote. So be sure to check that out over on his Twitter over there at Anthony DeBona. Search him up and look up that article. It's really good stuff if you want to know more about him. But the running back group as a whole, I think, is very good. You're gonna miss the stuff that Gainwell provided. He was one of Sirianni's favorite players. Any chance that Sirianni had, he praised Kenneth Gainwell and what he brought to the rotation and the reliability in that room. But Shipley showed you some things. They brought in A.J. Dillon. We'll see what he does there. And then Sean Derek Powell and Montrell Johnson are also the wild cards here. They just let Lou Nichols go. I know some reporters are Lou Nichols fans, but I don't. Maybe he'll come back. Like I said, this time of year, names are coming and going. But you know, Saquon is the most important name here, and everybody's scared of the Madden curse and this and that. I don't think the Madden curse has been a thing for some time now. He just won two ESPY awards. He won Best Play Award and Best NFL Player Award, I believe, and Offensive Player of the Year, of course. So tons of accolades he won in his first year with the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles' offensive line is largely intact. Lane Johnson is back. Cam Jurgens is getting healthy and coming back. Jordan Mailata is fine. Landon Dickerson is back. And now you have to figure out the right guard situation with Mekhi Becton gone. Is Tyler Steen going to finally take the mantle? Is it going to be some other guy? Is Kenyon Green going to show us something in camp? Who knows? But with that kind of offensive line, and you still have Hurts, who is a run threat himself, and you still have all your playmakers on offense with Devontae, AJ, and Jahan Dotson here, there's no reason to believe that Saquon Barkley will not be just as effective as he was in 2024. Now, if he gets banged up and gets injured, it gets shaky back there. Are you confident in Will Shipley getting 20 carries a game? Are you confident in AJ Dillon trying to shoulder the load? Probably not. But that's something you think about when you have to. You want to knock on wood that Saquon doesn't get hurt, because he is, as of now, the best running back in football. And it's interesting to think from a fantasy perspective, because people have drafts coming up and some people have asked me, is Saquon worth the first overall pick? I think that when you look at it, I think he's good for third. As far as the running backs go, you can argue Chase and those guys for depending on what kind of league you're in. But as far as the running backs go, I think you would have to debate between Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs, because they receive the ball almost twice as much as Saquon does. Saquon doesn't get nearly as much targets in the pass game. I know Jahmyr Gibbs still kind of splits the duties with David Montgomery a little bit, so maybe that leans you in the direction of Bijan Robinson. But those guys are your first options as far as fantasy goes, and then you can take a look at Saquon Barkley, especially with the tush push not banned, still here, still going to take away some scores. But I think that he is good as the third fantasy back. You can go Gibbs or Bijan. There's my fantasy advice for the day for you guys. We all have drafts coming up. But just wanted to get up here, talk about some quick moves the Eagles are making as they report for training camp today, and break down another position for you guys to bring some light to some names that I will be keeping an eye on throughout the summer. We will do another episode later in the week. We'll recap whatever happens in camp, also throughout the week on these practices and who's starting and position battles and all those updates as well. Thank you guys, as always, for checking out the Philly Pod. Be sure to subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Leave those reviews and rate 5 stars. They all do great with helping the show, so I can't thank you guys enough for doing that. Follow me on all social media platforms over at the Philly Pod as well, and keep up with my writing over at Eagles Wire as part of USA Today. I will catch you guys on the next episode, but until then, y'all, peace out from the Philly Pod.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.